Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God. Yet so we are. Children of God. The first thing children learn to do, flowing from what's an innate trust in the very youngest of a child, the first thing they learn to do is follow. Is they follow and mimic the example of their parents. So a little nephew, you come in, and he's got his feet up on the chair with a toothpick right after the meal, just flicking it between the teeth. Like, where did he learn that from? Well, there's dad sitting on the other chair, feet up on the stool, just toothpick in his teeth, flicking it from one side to the other. Children learn to follow. It's one of the first things they do. And you learn to follow in order to learn how to lead. For a male, the model of this, of learning how to follow in order how to lead, is the model of the Good Shepherd. For the female, it's the model of Mary and Marian love. Not exclusively, but predominantly in the order of divine and human nature. That the male and female, the fullness of both of these are in God. That humanity is created in the image of God. Male and female, he created them. And the church has both elements too. And it's Jesus who is the good shepherd. This image of Jesus as the good shepherd, it's a powerful one, and it speaks to all of us, to all Christians. This icon is perhaps my favorite icon ever, and it's an icon of the Good Shepherd. I'll leave it up on the rail here if you'd like to come see it after Mass. But it's an image of the Good Shepherd of Jesus, and it's powerful, and it speaks to every Christian. But there's a way in which Marian feasts, they speak to all Christians, but there's a particular way in which certain Marian feasts speak to a woman's heart in a way that they can't to a man's. The feast, such as that of the Annunciation, it resonates with every Christian, but yet there's something in a woman's soul who herself has the potential within her very being to conceive life, that it resonates with her in a particular way. So also the Good Shepherd, it speaks in a particular way to the male heart. In St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, his fifth chapter, there's a couple lines in there which the first time someone really hears them, they kind of recoil a little bit, right? The ones about husbands and wives, submitting and loving, following and leading. But within a woman is this inborn need to nurture life. Every woman, whether she's a mother or whether she's a sister, a Benedictine, a handmaid, this inborn need to nurture life. Within every man is the inborn need to die for something or to die for someone. This is ingrained in the soul of every man. And if a man doesn't have something he can actively be dying for, he'll slowly be killing himself with different destructive things he'll do. Because it's born within the man's heart to have something and to someone to die for. And a person will follow and wants to follow the lead of someone who shows them, I will die for you. Not just with words, not just saying those words, but shows them, I will die for you with their actions. This is Jesus who is the good shepherd. How many times in the gospel did he say, I lay down my life, I am the good shepherd, I lay down my life. I lay down my life. I lay down my life. He lays down his life, and he fights for your life. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he is the head of the church, his bride. And what does Jesus do for his bride, the church? He leads her in faith. He lays down her life for her upon the cross, and he fights for the church. He fights for us. Daily, he's fighting for us. This is Jesus, the good shepherd. And we hear in the gospel as well that there are others who are not true shepherds. They're false shepherds. They're bad shepherds. They're hirelings who enter into the sheepfold to lead us astray and to destroy, to lead us to destruction. And so Jesus, the good shepherd, says again and again that we have to learn his voice. What does the voice of Jesus sound like? To learn his voice and to listen to it. And why is he so insistent on this? Jesus is insistent that we have to learn what his voice sounds like and to follow it. Because if we don't learn his voice, we will be led astray by other voices, by false shepherds, by those who will lead us to destruction, by those who will lead us to the wolves, who will tear apart us and who tears apart the church limb by limb. And so we learn the voice of the good shepherd so that when you hear the voice, which is not Jesus, other false shepherds and false leaders, we learn to say, no, that's not him, but this is the voice of the Lord. So this is Jesus who is the good shepherd. This is every male, especially husbands and fathers. You husbands and fathers and every male, you're called to be a good shepherd. You were created and called to be the head of your family, to lead your family in faith. Look up this statistic. I'm not going to tell you because it's more impactful if you look it up and just see it for yourself. The difference between a family who has a father who goes to mass with his kids and a family who doesn't, and the percentage of kids who continue practicing the faith and those who don't. Fathers, to lead your family in faith, to lay down your life, which means dying daily, dying to yourself, dying for your wife, dying for your kids, putting to death your pride, your arrogance, learning to lead and to die to yourself according to the model of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and to fight for your family. There are things, and you know this, that want to destroy your family. Spiritual things and things in this world that are influenced by the dark spiritual things. And they want to destroy your family. And so you have to defend your family. You have to fight for them. You really have to fight for them. But it's beautiful because you're not on your own in doing this. You have the model and you have the power of Jesus Christ within you. This is every priest, from the Pope, who is the head of the universal church, to every bishop, who is the head of the local church, diocese, and to every pastor, who is the head of this parish family. Every priest was created and called to be a good shepherd, to lead the people in faith by first of all being a believer themselves, by believing in the gospel, in the power of it. That a priest is first a believer who leads their people in faith, who prays, and who lays down their life and who lays it down daily, dying to themselves, putting the needs of their people above their own. And it's a priest who's willing to fight for their people, which means saying things that their people don't like sometimes, or things that can make them uncomfortable. But if they're fighting for their family, it's understanding that there are things which want to tear the church and a parish apart. And back to all of us, all Christians, who in every realm of our lives were called to be servant leaders. This was something in a beautiful way I learned in my years at the University of Mary from the Benedictine sisters there about servant leadership. And it's the truth, and it's the truth of the gospel, that we have to learn how to follow, truly follow, before we can truly lead and lead well. In a world in which there's real, true vacuum of true leadership, to be one who knows how to follow the Good Shepherd, to learn his voice, so that we're able to lead well. Yet there's always, in this back and forth of learning how to follow before we learn how to lead, there's that resistance in our heart, right? Because it's our pride. There's always that resistance that's there. You know, sheep, my mom grew up with sheep. That little sheep farm that is right at the edge of Richardton as you're going in is always a big sheep farm there. And sheep are perhaps one of the more adorable animals in the world. They're adorable, aren't they? Especially when they're little. Yet they're also, of all the animals, they're not one of the more intelligent animals. And I say this loving sheep, right? There's a video, maybe you've seen it, of this little sheep. Well, somebody who captured it perfectly. Sheep are a lot like males, but they said that sheep are born literally looking for a way to die. They are. And there's this video of this sheep who gets caught in maybe this foot-wide little crevice, little ditch, ravine, maybe like a foot wide, and the sheep had gotten stuck in there. And you can see him, he's not going to get out. And so somebody, he comes and he pulls the sheep out from it and pulls it out, and the sheep hops like five little hops and right back into the ravine, right back into it. Because this is sheep. They're looking for a way to die. And in this image, one of the things I love is there's the shepherd's staff, which you can see, right? Jesus, I am the good shepherd. And so it's that candy cane looking thing that the bishop has. Why? Because the bishop is the shepherd of this diocese of the people in Western North Dakota. And so there's that shepherd's staff. And I love the shepherd's staff. The shepherd would use it both when wolves came and anything, they had to use it to defend and protect the sheep, to fight off the wolves. They used their shepherd's staff. But they also used it to pull back the sheep who were lost in the little ravines. The hook, to hook back the sheep and to bring them close. Yet these sheep who had this tendency to stray off when they were in danger, and if they would fall in a little ravine and break their leg, the shepherd would hold the sheep, sometimes for weeks until their leg healed, around their shoulder, just like you see perhaps here with Jesus. He's holding the sheep around his shoulders. And this little sheep, there's a resistance, right? Just as a baby, once they get to be a little bit older than just 6 months, 9 months, whatever it is, and they learn how to crawl and walk, all of a sudden they don't really want to lay in the arms too much. They want to go off and be independent, do their own thing. Well, the sheep has to learn to trust the shepherd. And the sheep who is laying around the shoulders of the shepherd learns in a very close way the shepherd's voice, because they're right next, right here. They learn the shepherd's breath. They hear even the shepherd's heartbeat. And so that resistance that's in the sheep, that's in each of us, that might be melted away by the good shepherd who carries us. So just in this week in prayer, to ask the Lord and to ask him honestly, even at this Mass, where is that resistance mostly in your heart? It's Good Shepherd Sunday. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, but where is the resistance in our heart from being the sheep who knows his voice and trusts it and follows him unreservedly? This is my prayer for us at this Mass, that we'll experience the closeness and the peace of the Good Shepherd who came down to lay down his life for us, so that each of us in our own places in life might lay down our lives and lead others well.